Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that the entrance of your word is life, it's light, it's understanding. I pray that life flows out of me. Sit Jason's scales down, God. You speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers." Underline that. That's not singular. That's rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Everybody say this. I have fruit, and I have a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's just not prosperity talking about everybody being a millionaire. Everybody may not be a millionaire, but here's the thing about God. You ain't got to have a million to live like you do. Anybody know the favor of God ain't fair? Anybody here say God has blessed you beyond your means? Now, come on, be honest with me. Say, listen, I ain't got a million sitting in the bank. I ain't the smartest man in the world, but God has blessed me immeasurably. Here's how we're going to do it. On the first slide. To live from God, there are four things you got to do. You got to establish your identity. You can bloom where you planted. You're going to get connected, and you're going to prosper. As a result of those three things, you're going to prosper in everything that you do. Let's go to the first one. To establish your identity, number one, you got to know your worth. Look at your neighbor and say, you know your worth. You better. It cost a man's life for you to live. Yeah, I like Kohan shoes, and they ain't cheap. But I could pay for Kohan shoes. But it wasn't a dollar amount for your life. It was a man's life for you to live. So to establish, to know your worth, you got number one, what kind of tree are you? What type of tree are you? The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You do what you believe you are, and you producing right now in your life what you believe about yourself. Satan wants you to believe lies about yourself that are presented through certain senses and through your experiences. Is anybody here that's made a few mistakes in life? Who be honest, said they made some mistakes in life. And here's what I've learned. Just because I'm a failure, just because I failed, doesn't make me a failure. Y'all got anybody in your life, y'all probably don't, that remembers the mistakes that you've made? And they want to just slide on the slide, remind you sometimes. Next time they do, here's what you do. Tell them, talk about it. Tell them what I used to be. Tell them where God brought you from, because when you talk about it now, it's a reflection of what God brought me through. So you're testifying for me. And the Bible says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So every time somebody reminds you of your past, sit back and say, testify for me. Matter of fact, they talk too long. Tell them, shut up. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You wasn't there when he brought me out. You wasn't there when he brought me through. I know what it looks like for a man to be broken and God bring him out. Am I talking to anybody in here? Now watch this. Your past ain't your past if you're still doing it. Your past is only your past if it's not a part of your current reality. If I could sit with many of you in here, that have certain issues and walk this scripture and this message through with you, I could get you to the root of your problem by figuring out what you believe about yourself. If you're not convicted and you don't believe certain things, if you don't believe that you can succeed, if you don't believe that you can make it out of where you are, you never will. And I can tell what you believe by what you say. I thank God for a diverse crowd in here, but for all of my African-American males, if you believe that you got to work twice as hard as everybody else to get ahead, that mathematically would tell you that you half of the people around you. And that's not true. You don't have to walk around with a chip. I'm going to go on to preach this anyway. You don't have to walk around with a chip on your shoulder thinking the world is against you. If this Bible is true, if God be for you, I don't care if you're black, white, Chinese, Hispanic, or whatever you are, this word, if it dwells in you, there is nothing that can stop you. There is nothing that can hold you back. Do you go through stuff? Absolutely, but it's like water off a duck's back when I stay in this word, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Y'all making me work hard this morning. Anybody know this truth? Yeah. You have to uncover the lie that you believe and discover the truth. Many of us are living out a lie. Lies find the entry points through tough moments in your life. If you made a mistake, it's easy to define yourself by that mistake. You may have been caught in the middle of a lie, but you're not a liar. You may have caught in the middle of some crazy stuff, and that's not what defines who you are. What God says you are defines who you are. But watch this. You got to believe the truth, and when you believe the truth, truth leads to conviction. You can't change what you have no conviction of. We put rules on people. We try to force people. Don't go here. Don't go there. Don't drink this. Don't do that. You are doing nothing but pleasing people if it's not a conviction on the inside of you. My role as a pastor and the role of your parents and the teachers is to present to you. But it takes the Holy Ghost to get inside of you to convict you. I am in violation of my authority in the Word of God if I try to move into the convictor. But I'm going to tell you how true the conviction is. You can have truth on the inside of you. And you can be somewhere you ain't got no business being. Getting ready to do something you ain't got no business doing. And you about to have one of them moments like, God, I'm going to get back with you after this. But the Holy Ghost will kick in. And something to tell you, I'm better than this. I'm worth more than this. I'm worth than waking up in my dorm at 2 o'clock in the morning, young ladies, and I'm running to somebody's apartment. He ain't got the nerve to even come see you. You got the nerve and drive all sleepy in your pajamas in the middle of the night to somebody else's apartment. Look, so every lady look at another lady and say, I'm worth it. Oh, y'all looking at me strange, but I'm worth more than you meet me on some back alley and some side road that don't nobody know me. If we can meet in the dark, we can meet in the public. Y'all looking at me strange. I'm worth it. I'm worth more than you just roll over and decide you lonely and don't want to sleep by yourself and say, can you come over and keep me company? Oh, look, somebody say, put a ring on it. Yeah. I'm convicted. I know the truth of the Word of God, but I'm convicted by it. I don't know about you. I'm not supposed to be broke. You can be broke in this room, but I ain't supposed to be broke. No, I'm not supposed to settle. I don't care where we are, what goes on in life. You can sell if you want to, but all God has is not all I see. God has much more in store for me than what I'm experiencing right now. I'm convicted. I'm a man of God. I know, am I perfect? Absolutely not. Have I made mistakes? Absolutely, but I'm still a man of God. I'm convinced I'm going to be a great leader for God. Am I all the way there yet? Absolutely not. But if I don't believe it, who will? If you don't believe what God created you to be, and that you're the best husband there is, what makes you think somebody else? You'll be waiting on somebody else's affirmation to finally, watch this, look at your neighbor and say, I don't need your approval to be me. Yeah, look at somebody else and say, I don't need your approval to be me. The sooner some of us realize that, the better off we're going to be. Y'all all right in here? So conviction, I'm convicted, not just of sin, but I am what God says I am. And if God says I'm blessed, I don't care what my bank account says, I'm blessed. So I know my worth. I'm valuable. And I also understand my uniqueness. This is not being weird and rebellious. What some of us call doing you is doing stupid. No, it is. Rebellion, being you is not being anti what society says. And I don't mean to talk so hard. It's not being anti what your family says. Being you is looking at everybody look at your hand in here. Nobody else has your fingerprint. Nobody else has your DNA. Nobody in this world could ever be you. God birthed you for a reason. And God, everything God birthed, he has a reason to use it. Can I tell you something? Christians and people are the only things that buy stuff and we don't use it. You got clothes in your closet now and you ain't even took the tag off of. You bought it just because it was on sale and you ain't even got nothing to wear it with and it just still sitting there. God don't produce nothing he don't plan on using. I hear you in here say, I've done too much for God to use me. That's a lie. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've experienced. I don't care if you had an abortion. I don't care if you committed adultery. I don't care if you've lied. I don't care if you smoked all the crack there is. I don't care if you lied. You can steal. I don't care if you're a stealer. You can steal the radio and leave the music behind. I don't care who you are. You can lie and make folks believe you. God can change you. Do I got any witness in here to say, God, if he can change me, he can change anybody? Now, for real. Now, for some of y'all know when y'all got saved and y'all tell y'all friends, they're like, for real. Now, for real. For real. For real. For real. You're like, no, for real. And he said, I can show you better than I can tell you. Can I tell you this? You ain't got nothing to prove to nobody. People may know where you come from. They may know what you've been. But when you know your worth, I ain't got nothing to prove to you. I'm going to show you who I am, and you're going to see the proof is in the pudding. So I understand my uniqueness. Nobody has my DNA, and I'm the only me that will ever be of all times. And now, when you know your identities, you got to establish boundaries. If you were taking notes, what is a boundary? A boundary is where you end and I begin. Your skin is a boundary. Your emotions are a boundary. You can't make me sick. You people say all the time, you make me sick. That means I gave you the right to violate my emotions. You can't make me sick unless I let you. Another thing, you can't tell me how to feel. It's my prerogative. I don't feel any way I want to feel. You can advise me on my actions, but you can't tell a person how to feel. You got to respect boundaries. Until you understand identity, you'll never understand boundaries. You'll trust the wrong people. And you'll block the right people from being in. Identity allows you to identify the proper people in your life. Until you have the proper identity, you'll never realize who your friends are. You'll find yourself believing liars. Because liars have a way of twisting the truth and get you to believe it. Because you have no discernment on the inside of you. You won't know the difference between your friends and your associates. And you let your associates all the way up in your business. And say, don't ever share this with anybody. And your associates will have a way. So I know I ain't supposed to be saying this, but girl, let me tell you. We need to hold hands and pray about this. No, you don't need to pray about that. You need to go to God, because it's between me and you. Look at your neighbor and say, I show you right. Yeah. You can't say amen, say ouch. Yeah, you got to figure out who your family is. Who's your boss? Who's your pastor? You got to be able to identify. Boundaries help you determine what you're going to say yes to and what you're going to say no to. If you don't know who you are, you'll say yes just to be in somebody's good graces. And you'll say no just to prove that you can. But when you know who you are, you set your boundaries and it tells me what to say yes to. Until you identify, have your own identity, watch this, you'll end up being needy. And you will intrude somebody's space. And after a while, you feel like, well, I'm just getting in the way. You may be, but that don't make you a bad person. It may mean you got to learn to respect boundaries. You can't violate somebody's family time. That don't mean they don't like you. It's just time for their family. You can't violate somebody's personal space when somebody say, I need just some time to be by myself. That don't mean I hate you. That don't mean I can't talk to you tomorrow. It just means I need my personal space. Y'all look at me strange. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. But when you don't know who you are, you take no as rejection of who you are. And no may mean just not right now. Give me a moment. Can I tell y'all something? When people tell you I'm mad or give me a moment, do it. Particularly if they got a temper and they got a way of using their words, they may not be responsible about what's coming next. If they say, give me a moment, look at your neighbor and say, trust them. They know what they're talking about. So I establish boundaries. Let me get where I'm going. Then I got to develop confidence. Confidence is so abused these days. Everybody walking around with a swagger. You got 22-inch rims and $2 in your bank account. You got Prada and Gucci and $5 in your purse. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But watch this. It's living well on the level you own. You may not be on Prada level now, but rock that Target bag like it's the best thing you ever had. I may not can go to Cohan and pay a $215 for some shoes, but I can go to Marty and Liz and get them off the bargain rack. And you will never know the difference because the shoes don't make me, I make them. I can rock Target just like I rock Gucci and you'll never be able to know the difference. Say, Target need to sign me because I make their stuff look good. Oh, for real. That's confidence. Confidence is the ability not to change your identity based off what somebody calls you or based off what you have done or based off what others say you should be. The story of a man, it's a fictional story, but it makes sense. He planted a pecan tree, but he wanted the apple tree. And he planted the tree, and I guess he got a hold of faith, whatever. He planted the pecan tree and planted it and spoke over it every day. You will be an apple tree. Watered it. You will be an apple tree. Watered it. You will be an apple tree. Guess what he got? He got a pecan tree. Because the seed had enough nerve not to change who it was based off what somebody calls it. Human beings are the only people that change who we are based off how people respond to us. Y'all look good together. And on paper, y'all look like y'all got it together. And you marry somebody just because somebody say y'all look good together and ain't got a thing in common with each other. You look like a doctor, so you go become a pre-medicine major, and they don't even like biology. But somebody said, you look like a preacher. Just because you know the word don't mean you called to preach. And you'll change everything you are just based off what somebody says you should be. But later for that, you got to figure out what God says you are and walk that thing out by faith. Somebody say, I am who I am because of what God says of me. Look at your neighbor and say, I may not be what you think I ought to be, but I am what God says I am. All right. Now, confidence comes from your identity and not from your position. I had to have confidence not because I'm up here to you preaching, not because I'm a pastor and introduce myself. I'm Pastor Skills. Confidence don't come because of my title. Confidence comes because I know who our God says I am. When I'm old and if I retire from pastoring, I'm still going to be the old little man walking around here with the most confidence in the world. Why? Because I know who I am. When you know who you are, you won't let people push you beyond your call. Can I make it plain? Just because you call to preach don't make you a pastor. And just because you pastor don't mean you'll be a senior pastor. There are various types of pastor. Just because you're a good teacher don't make you a principal. Just because you got an idea don't make you a business owner. Just because you're a good chef don't make you a restaurant owner. Just because you're smart don't mean you need to lead nobody and be their boss. Because you got a whole lot of folks who are smart and don't know how to talk to people. They need to sit and talk to their calculator. No, I'm serious. But people will push you beyond what you're called to do. I live this out. My boss, he's a guy who used to be my boss. He's passed away. He's dead now. And he was a workaholic. I call him Beautiful Mind. He had no social skills. He would throw me out of his office. I would come, no joke, I would ask him a question. Get out! I'm like, oh. He would come to my desk in the middle. You never met him there. But he would come. Anybody sit in cubicles before? You can hear everything in cubicles. He would come to my desk. Jason, you were wrong on that equation. I'm going to tell you why. You got to tell the whole floor. But this guy was as smart as they come. But he lacked when it comes to being, he was just smart. Didn't mean he was a leader. And he went, it was a holiday. He worked the night before the holiday and didn't come home. He was not the type of guy that ran around or just didn't go home. His wife, when he didn't come home, she called the police and she said he didn't come home. They drove up to the parking lot of Cigna and found him sitting there in his car, door wide open, and lay back in his seat, dead of a heart attack. He was the kind of guy who did not like conflict. So instead of not confronting you, he did everything himself. When things had to get done, he could not tell anybody no. So he felt like I had to do it. He would take on more. He was doing our job. He wouldn't ask for another employee. And his boss said something to us when we were meeting. He said, we knew we needed to move him and that he did not need to be leading people. This is not an indictment. Just because you're a CEO don't mean you're not important. People are cut from a different cloth. You fall where you're supposed to be. He said, we knew he was supposed to be there, but we didn't move him soon enough. Some of us people put us in positions that you know that maybe you're not ready for yet, or it's too much for you right now. But because it looks grand and it looks important, you say yes to it because people feel like, y'all right in here? They feel like you should. And you feel undue pressure because you're not equipped to handle necessarily yet what God has you. Can I tell you, every single person in here, wave your hand at me. You may meet the person, it's single. If you're single, you may meet the person you're going to marry and know it in your spirit, this is the one. That don't mean y'all going to get married tomorrow. That means you know who they are and they ain't going nowhere, so now y'all working towards something. Don't rush the inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. How many of you know that eventually you're going to get promoted on your job? Yeah, how many? Nobody believing for a promotion here? Listen, tell me where you work. I will come take your job and get your promotion. You know it now, but you don't have to rush it. You ain't got to throw nobody on the bus. You ain't got to laugh at stuff ain't funny. You ain't got to kiki and ha-ha and brown nose just to get a position. You just be you. And God has a way when you know who you are, you get it going. All right? The next thing is this. Go to my next slide. You're already up there. Bloom where you plant it. He said, he shall be like a tree. What kind of tree are you? Plant it. Plant it means this. Once I know who I am, I got to find a place to grow. You got to find your soul. What is your soul? Your soil is what the type of work God called you to. I'm going to tell you about some great soil. BFF is some great soil. If I went past this church, I'd join this church. If you don't have a church home, I guarantee you, your life will be changed. Not because we're so great, but because there's a river flowing through here. Oh, I challenge you. Oh, I challenge you. Connect with us and watch what God does. You can divine your destiny, develop your purpose, and discover your potential. We are BFF. But you got to find your soul. And you get in that soil and you develop roots. You find your relationship. You find and you connect. And this is the next thing you do. You got to develop healthy roots. Trees grow when their roots are nourished. You honor a tree by watering its roots. We have it the direct opposite. We criticize people because of their fruits. Got a wife and a husband may be lazy. He ain't picked his shoes up. You work all day and come home cleaning. You're just trifling. I wish you'd get in here and help me. You see these kids need help. What you are doing is tearing down his roots. I tell you the best way to change the behavior and get God to get in a person's heart. You nourish their roots, not pour acid on it. You are a man of God of this house. I'm glad that I married you. I'm glad that God sent you my way. Do I like everything about you? Absolutely not. But I love you not to death. I love you to life. And I guarantee you this. If we just work together, you know how I come home and everybody around here just nervous? I guarantee you I wouldn't do that if you just helped me be the family God called us to be. What you do is you wake up the inside of that person. I told y'all before, Barbara got a way of waking up the inside of me. If I'm ever walking in fear or if I'm ever doing something out of character, she can say, Pastor, oh, yeah, you're right. When I get ready to go off or just fly off the handle, she has a way of waking up something on the inside of me. Isaiah can look at me. I can be having a rough day. I mean, stretched out. Anybody, y'all kids, think money grown trees? Isaiah see an ATM machine, just think we can just go get money out of it. It's money in there. But something about him saying, Daddy, wakes up something inside of me. He's honoring my roots, and it causes me to produce more fruits. But many of us have damaged the root, and we broke the psyche and the will of people, and they produce bitter fruit because they're bitter at the roots. Can I challenge you? Go beyond the surface. See why a person is just laying there on the couch. See why they have no apathy. See why the love is gone. We don't go out no more. You used to look at me in my eyes. Well, I used to come home, and you ain't have rollers in your head, and you just bathrobe on. You get a tit for tat and all that stuff all day. You can argue about what's not right and what is right, but you can go to the root. Why have you lost the love? Why have we not been on a date in a while? Why have I lost the twinkle in my eye for you? Maybe it's because the way you talk to them. Maybe it's because the way you entreat them. But oh, if you nourish that root, you'll find yourself driving 70 in a 40 mile an hour limit, speed limit. I can't wait to get home. Put the kids in the bed. Oh, y'all, look, I'm married. Yeah. No, for real. Why? Because she honored me by watering my roots. Look at your neighbor and say, water the people's roots in your life. All right. My first call. I got lost there. I'm talking about marriage. It's all right. My first call is not to Barbara. My first call is not to Isaiah. My first call is not to this church. It's not to my friends. My first call is to God. And if I'm ever off in marriage, if I'm ever off in fatherhood, if y'all ever say, Pastor, tripping, if Isaiah say, Daddy, crazy, I guarantee you can check one thing. My connection with God is off. And as college students, if you ever find yourself getting distracted, if you ever find people's opinion meaning to you more than what they should, if you ever find your money getting funny, before you go buy Dave Ramsey book, watch this, because Dave Ramsey is going to do nothing but just renew your mind, and he's good. Get your spirit together first, because everything you do flows from a root. Prosperity is not money. It's something that you're connected to, because I guarantee you, if you're broke financially, you're broke relationally, you're broke career-wise, you're broke in every area of your life, because it's not money. It's what you're connected to. Y'all all right? So I got to check my root. Because everything I do is a result of the overflow of my connection with God. Okay, I got to get where I'm going. You develop healthy roots and you understand submission. Everybody's got to have somebody they listen to. Everybody's got to have somebody they listen to. Just because you're gifted and you have a good idea, that don't guarantee success. Submission means I give somebody the right to help my approach. I got a lot of great ideas, and I can go tell Barbara, God said, well, you thought about this? Then I just say, God said. And like, how you gonna argue with God? I can play the God card on her. I'm the head of this house. But you need somebody. And every man can say, woman, submit to me because I'm the head of the house. Read your Bible. That scripture above that says, submit yourself one to another. So there's an authority that she has in my life as well. So she can't just sit there, whatever you want. Hop on one foot. Bark like a dog. Whatever you want. You don't want that. It may feel good for a minute, but after a while, you're going to want somebody to challenge you. Y'all right? Where was I at? So I got to be submitted. When I am submitted, everything in a garden has to have a groomer. You need somebody in your life to groom you. Hey, my job every Sunday when you come in here, I may not tell you what you want to hear. You may be like, I can't stand him this Sunday. Why he got to be up in my business? I can do what I want to do. You sure can. You can do whatever you want to do. But listen, my job is to provoke you, to get you not to settle where you are. I got some husbands and wives when I was in there talking, y'all turning red, ain't even looked at each other because you know how y'all been treating each other. But that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm calling you to take a look, not at yourself. Well, see, you need to listen to him. But no, the mirror need to look at you. What do I need to change? What do I need to do different? Look at your neighbor and say, you need a groomer. Say, I ain't a dog, but you need a groomer. The next slide is this, all right? You get connected. He said, the Bible said in Psalms 1 and 3, you shall be like a tree planted, that's established healthy roots, by the rivers of water. Now, it didn't say river. It said rivers, plural. And oh, is she in here? She can, you might have to correct me after this. But if I'm not mistaken, a river is nothing but a channel. It's a channel by which water flows. And water represents life. So you are to get connected to channels of life. Every relationship in your life should be a channel of life. Your friendship should not be a channel of death. They should be a channel of life. Because I'm connected with you, I'm crazy now, my life going in topsy-turvy. No, as a result of being connected with you, my life is the better. You know the best thing, probably one of the best things somebody can say to you is I thank God for you. Hey, can you do me a favor? Pull your phone out. Think of somebody you love with everything you got. They may be sitting next to you. But send them this text. Tell them, I thank God for you. Yeah. They may, what? Where are you going? I ain't going nowhere. I just had a moment. One of the best things, and while you texting, I'm going to keep on talking, because they are a river of life. Watch this. You can't pour acid on a root and expect it to grow. What you are doing when you tell somebody, I thank God for you, is that you are affirming who they are in your life. You are telling them, I make room for you. I value your words. I know you're typing, but is there anybody here ever feel like you're not valued in your own home? Are there any wives besides mine that feel like your husband, you could tell them something all day long and they come home when somebody else tell them like it's a major revelation? No, I get good kudos on that one. When you value somebody, when you thank God for them, it means I'll listen to them and you are speaking something over their life. So when I establish healthy connections, I get connected to a channel of life. This church is a channel of life. And the next thing is, a healthy connection makes you relevant. It says, its leaves shall not wither. Relevant means you're connected, you're significant, and you have longevity. Here's an example of what means to be relevant. How many of y'all know about the Hebrew boys in the Bible? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all right? How many of y'all know about Daniel in the lion's den? Y'all know about him? Yeah, how many know about David and how many smooth songs he have? Five smooth. Listen, I done read that story and it don't change not one time. Every time David's going to beat Goliath. Every time the Hebrew boys are going to get out. It is very easy for me to come in here and say, good evening, saints. If it helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, oh Lord, get out of the fiery furnace. If he can help Daniel in the lion's den. If he can help Gilgamesh get off the island. If God can take a little shepherd boy by the name of David and anoint five smooth songs, but here's the glory, he didn't have to use but one of them. And he can take that slingshot bat and just pull. Look at your neighbor and say, and pull again. When you're about to give up in life, look at your neighbor and say, pull again. and he took the Goliath, he took his head off. How many of you know that Jesus can make an anointed mud pie? He can take spit and pour it in mud, put in dirt, and put a mud pie on a man's eye, and the man will begin to see. And right about now, y'all starting to get stirred up and say, oh, yes, God. But here's the challenge. I need something relevant because I got my own lion's den. I got my own fiery furnace. I got my own Goliath. And thank God for what he did in the Bible. But I need to know, what does this mean to me? I can't just entertain you. I heard one of the greatest sermons I ever heard. What this man described what God did in creation. He said God stepped out on nothing and put one foot on an atom and another foot on a molecule and spoke the world into existence. Now, I like science, and I like somebody who knows what they're talking about. And I was like, whoa, God can step on atoms and molecules. But I don't believe that just because it's in the Bible. I believe that because of what I see today. That God spoke out of nowhere and said, I want there to be a believer's faith fellowship. And you're going to start in a hotel of Quality Inn. You're going to move to the Boys and Girls Club. You're going to go in Christiana Middle, and you're going to sit there for a couple of years. And after a while, Jason, I'm going to allow a church to fold and y'all purchase a building. And I'm going to allow people come from the north, south, east, and west. And where you started from nothing, you're going to stand up like Drake and say, I started from the bottom, but now I'm here. Why? Because God can step on nothing. Oh, y'all looking at me crazy, but when some of y'all look at your bank account, you see nothing. When you look at your career, you see nothing. When you look at your life, you see nothing. But you know there's a river of life flowing out of you, and I declare that it will live. Y'all right? All right, all right. I'm about to fall out. Hold on. Man. Whew. Give me one moment.
That's all right, Pastor.
I ain't losing weight. I can't do all that no more. It makes you relevant, and when you get healthy, it makes you effective. You ain't got to drink water in front of everybody because you can't breathe. And if I pass out, it ain't the Holy Ghost. I lost my breath. Healthy connections, let me get back to how I flow. They make you effective. He said he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves shall not wither, and he shall produce fruit in his season. Say this, I have fruit, and I have a season. Who's in? Lift your hands if you're in your 20s in here. You're in your 20s. In your 20s, there is something designed for you to do. And you are to maximize the moment. Don't be 50 years old trying to relive your 20s. And I don't know, but I heard about them. Don't be that old dude in the club. Church socks, a JCM short set, and some church shoes, because you didn't get it out. I don't know if you should ever get that out, but because you wasted time on relationships that were going nowhere. You wasted time trying to please people, trying to fit in places that God didn't want you to fit. You maximize the moment in the time you have. Who's in their 30s in here? You graduate to another season in life. I will never be 37 again. I am supposed to make the most of what God has for me. I am in a rush. I am aggressive in what God called me to be. Because in every season of your life, your position may change, but your purpose does not. And God wants you to produce in every season of your life. Watch this. When you're relevant and effective, you don't change your message. You just change your method. All right? So you can be effective, mean I produce things in seasons. Everybody lift your hand and say, God, anoint me to produce whatever you want me to produce in this season. Lift your hand and say, God, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste money. I don't want to waste resources. Show me where I'm supposed to be. Show me what I'm supposed to be connected to. Show me what I need to get rid of. So that I can produce in Jesus' name. If you receive that, put your hand together and bless God. Not another wasted moment. No more one-sided relationships. We both gonna put what we have into this. Y'all right? The last thing is this. You get connected. And it says, when you get, then the last one says, whatever you do shall prosper. Prosperity don't start until you start doing. You can speak till you're blue in the face, but until you get up and do something, prosperity ain't gonna start. Prosperity is this. It's living in the zone. Drew, you ever had them games where everything you threw up, I don't care if 10 people in your face, you can throw it up left-handed and just leave it there. It don't care if who was in your face. It was just on you. Any athletes in here ever been in that place? Anybody know what a second wind feel like? Where everybody else side hurting and you just running. Prosperity is you catching your second wind. And while everybody around you is winded, while everybody around you is beat up, you going on like nothing happened because you got the Midas touch. When you live in prosperity, you maximize the level you're on. Prosperity is not when you get your first Mercedes, because you can rush prosperity and get a Mercedes and can't afford it, because the maintenance is a whole lot different than a little Yugo and a Toyota. Prosperity is this. Look at your neighbor and say, maximize the level you're on. All right. So if you want a big house, you would treat that house no better than you treat your apartment. Yes. If you want nice shoes, you want God to bless you. You can't walk on the side of your shoes that you got on discount, and then you're going to do that with the shoes that God, that you believe is on this level. Prosperity is maximizing where you are. Here's my question for you. You may hate your job, but are you giving it everything you got? The Bible says if you're faithful over few, I'll make you ruler over many. When you get in your zone, watch this, you become healthy, and the healthy people recover from mistakes quicker than people who are not healthy. When I'm healthy, I can make a mistake and I can rebound. The next thing is, you got to switch from a consumer to a producer mentality. Let your neighbor say, it's not about you. It is very easy. I preach, you be the best you. I done talked about you all day. But it's not just about you. It's about what God wants to do through you. The fruit you produce is not for yourself. It's for the benefit of others. One of my favorite singers, and Barbara was asking me, Jason, if you could have anybody come sing at a birthday celebration, who would it be? It wasn't Vanessa Bell Armstrong. It wouldn't get the Thompson Community Mass Choir back together. It wouldn't even get John P. Key and let him sing Jesus is Real. I don't know if I was spiritual on this. And I said, if you could find Anita Baker, she could talk to Aleta Adams, and I don't care how she get here. She can just get here if she can. If I could just hear Anita Baker. But watch this. If Anita Baker stopped singing, she would go on and live. But my life would be different. When you stop producing, it may not immediately impact you, but there is some son who's not getting the benefit of a mother because you upset. There's some husband who's not getting the benefit of a great wife because you got ticked off. That there is somebody who's not getting the benefit of barbecue ribs and turkey and dressing, sweet potatoes with them caramel and then nuts and pralines on the top because you got mad at cutting Lulu and she said that she wasn't bringing the turnip greens. Can't nobody eat now. Now you got somebody like me just sitting there mad. Somebody suffers when you stop. Satan gets to people around you by getting you to quit, getting you to throw in the towel because your fruit is not for you. It benefits others. Goes to my next point is this. You got to understand the difference between production and fulfillment. Production is producing, and production does not bring fulfillment. Healthy roots produce healthy fruit. Growth does not bring fulfillment. I'll be honest. We have had great services in here. Whether people have shouted, it's a full house today. I'm loving what God is doing. But I have left this church, and people say, Pastor, that word blessed me. And I have felt at the bottom. I have just depression to jump on you. Why did you say that? Who said they're going to come back next week? Look at you. Everything going to fall apart. And I'm driving in my car by myself listening to all these lies in my head. And we just left a great service. So production does not bring fulfillment. You can get as many degrees as there is degrees on the thermometer. But that don't make you fulfilled. You got PhDs killing themselves. You can get all that you feel like money can buy. Watch this. BFF, we're growing. 4 years, and I'm proud of this. On an average weekend, we see about 300 adults. Well, I'm proud about it. In this room is about 200 or so seats, and the first service is filling up. On average, we got about 50 kids, and I can walk around. I'm walking around, my chest poked out. I'm a proud pastor. Look at what God is doing. That don't bring fulfillment. That don't change who I am. If all of you all walked out tomorrow, I don't need to go jump in the Duck River head first and tell them to drain the water. No, that don't change who I am. Production is what you do for the benefit of others. Yeah. Fulfillment comes when you're connected with God. Because some of you in here, you're poor, you everybody else's counselor, you everybody's mama, you everybody's friend, but who pours into you? Who do you allow into your life to know you? Not hide behind your title and who you are, but who do you allow to see the real you, the vulnerable you, the transparent you, and you're not worried about them holding it against you because you need to be filled up as well. You can have all the money in the world. People walk around and don't be impressed just because somebody say they got money. That could be empty on the inside. Yeah. Who pours into you? Your accomplishments don't bring fulfillment. Watch this. Trees don't live by eating fruit. Trees live by having nourished roots. The glory of a tree is its fruit, but the tree lives by getting its roots nourished. I am the fruit of Wayne and Sheila Scales. I am the fruit of Bright Temple Church of God in Christ. I am the fruit of Living Word Ministries Church of God in Christ. I am the fruit of Perfecting Faith Ministries. I'm the fruit of Aiken Elementary. I have any Aiken kids in here? I am the fruit of Harris Middle School. I am the fruit of Shelbyville Central High School. I am the fruit of University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. They thought of me not to keep me in the first grade, but to pass me on when I was ready. We have a problem in that we have parents eating kids, churches eating members, spouses smothering each other and not allowing the growth that should happen. The glory of a tree is its fruit, but trees don't live by eating their fruit. You got parents who are nervous about letting their kid go. And that kid has a global call. And they can go to Paris, France. They can go everywhere. But because you want your baby next to you, you can live in Bell Buckle, Tennessee. My baby always going to live right here. And your baby will be miserable trying to make you happy. Well, I had a conversation, and I'll close with this, not too long ago. My mom called me, and I didn't realize the depth of the call. She said, Jason, and I could tell she was a little shaky in her voice. She said, I realize I have to share you. Okay? You have to share me. She said, no. I am my parents' only living child. They had three. They lost two. I'm the only one left. I go all the time. Barbara and I are on the go all the time. On average, we get at home probably 7 late at night. Then we got to do homework. That's just the life I chose. I'm always doing something. There's always somebody to text. There's always somebody to visit. There's always somebody to call. She sees me running left and right. She has one left. And it would be very easy of her because I'm her son. To manipulate her emotions by, you know, you don't get to spend as much time with your mama. You know, mama want to talk to you too. And it would be very easy of her to manipulate my emotions to get me to spend time with her. But she said, Jason, I realize you got to walk out your call. You got a wife, you got a family, you got Isaiah, you got a church. And she said, I have regrets that God's going to take care of you. I had no idea how in depth that was until I got to studying this scripture. Because you got so many people who won't allow the people around them to go. You're so afraid of what's going to happen to your kid. You were fine. And you went through bumps, knocks, and bruises. And you still made it. You're so afraid that if I let them step out, if they go back to school, I don't know if they'll want me anymore because I don't have my degree. Oh, my God, if they step out and start a business, they'll think they're better than me. And I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Y'all looking at me strange, but you know I'm telling the truth. Insecurity starts to step in and you start to suppress what God said, I want to live. I guarantee you this, if you let the stuff live around you, you won't die. God will nourish you through your fruit or through your roots. Here's the thing, and I know what I'm saying as a pastor. We got a great band. We got a great praise team. We got Joshua Jameson, who just got married, sitting right here. Here's the thing. Josh may not be here forever. And I told you earlier, you ain't going nowhere. That kind of acts more on it. But here's the thing. I ain't in the first church I was ever part of. Pastor Dale Jones knew enough of me and thought enough of me to help groom me to get me to the level that I am right now. I would love for all of y'all to be at this church for the rest of your life and we just grow old together and just see all your little kids grow up. But your call, not your nerves, because I done made you mad and you're going to go down the street. But your call may call you somewhere else. But you can always look back when Josh is on the Grammy stage, either as a writer, singer, or producer. I want to give a shout out to the country, to my folks at BFF.
Yeah.
Y'all were with me before people knew what being with me was. Petey Pablo, y'all remember him back in the day. That's one of his lines. The glory of a tree is its fruit, but it grows by nourishing its root. And I'm challenging many of you in here. You're holding on to stuff that God said, I want to live. You're trying to control it. I don't want to get hurt. If I open up, I may get hurt. You might, but you might live. If I open up, I might get betrayed, but you might find the best friend you ever have. If I step out, they may not like you. They may not like me. They probably don't. If they don't like you then, they won't like you now. They don't like you now, they won't like you then. I may get rejected. You run the risk every day of being hurt. But I want to challenge you. Let the stuff around you live so that you won't die. God said, I need you to release some stuff. It's messing up your marriages. It's messing up your homes because you're trying to control it. I'm trying to make it happen. No, I got to have my hand on it. God said, if you'll take your hand off, I'll put my hand on it. But both of us can't be God. One of us has got to step up and be God. Stand to your feet. I don't want to talk to as many people in here. I thought this would end it another way. Thank you for your time. I went a little over in terms of my teaching time. I want to talk to every person in here. I want you to slip your hands up. That you're struggling with control in your life. And you need to get connected deeper at the root. While you're trying to control things, you see that your relationship with God and God doing things is slipping. Whether it's creeped in your marriage, just keep creeped in your career, and you find yourself at odds, and you just need God to help you. You're still struggling with vulnerability. You're struggling with trust. You're struggling with God. Are you really going to do this? I want you to slip your hands up all over the building. If there's a situation that is out of your it's out of your control, but you're trying to control it, lift your hands. Some of you in school right now, God, I'm studying. I'm doing all I can. Nothing's clicking. God said, let me put my hand on it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. You are my sustainer. You are my healer. You are my connection. I will produce fruit in every season of my life. And I thank you for your anointing that is on my life. I connect to you now. And I command everything around me to live and not die. I will not live in fear. I will not live in anger. I will not live with bitter roots. God, you're going to heal everything around me. And I am going to get balance and conviction in life in the name of Jesus. Father, I bless you. I honor you. I thank you right now. And every parent in here, I'm going to pray over you. You don't have to be worried about your kids making the same mistake you made. God's hand is on their life. No fear. No fear. Every person that has a past, I eulogize that thought that everything I did is going to come back on me. It is a lie. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And everything is new in your life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Do me a favor, hug somebody and tell them you will live and not die.
Live and not die.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.